What's up, y'all? Oh my gosh, you're gonna love this conversation. I just had the most amazing conversation with Jonathan Dumas, and you are about to watch this amazing conversation too. We talked about everything when it comes to, you know, having a job maybe where you feel like you're in despair and turning that into joy. And what does that mean? And we talked about, you know, DEI and being in a safe space and how do we show up authentically and how to become self-aware. I mean, it is packed with info, packed with amazing stuff going on. So make sure you tune in and check this out. It is awesome. Here we go. What's up, y'all? This is Nina Perez, and this is Straight Talk, No Sugar Added. And I am so freaking stoked you're here. Yes. I love this community so freaking much. I know I shout you guys out all the time, but I have hit over 100,000 downloads on my podcast and the top 1% podcast to listen to in the country because of you, okay? Because you guys show up all the time. And I know that you are always on here because you want to see the good humans that I come and bring to the show. And today I got another good human for y'all, okay? So buckle up, because here we go, okay? His name is Jonathan. He is a master of career transformation and joy, and he's the host of the highly visible and a little misunderstood. I can't wait to get into that. And Jonathan brings authenticity and psychological insight into the world of career transition coaching. Now, he empowers you to own your story, harness your unique skills, and thrive in your career. Now, get ready, y'all. We're going to turn despair into joy in this conversation. So, Jonathan, thank you so much for guiding us through cultivating workspaces and leadership. And what does that mean, being a little bit misunderstood? You know, we're going to get into that, Jonathan.
Yeah, so. No, I love it. I love it. Yeah. Welcome. No, thank you so much. Thank you so much, Nina. Yo, the energy, I'm feeling it. Like it's transferable even through the screen. I'm like awesome. Digging it. I'm getting hyped up. This is so dope. And congratulations. Hold on. Congratulations on the 100K. Thank you. Like, I'm a podcaster too. That's a big deal now.
So it's a big deal. Wonderful.
That's a humongous deal. So that, I was congratulations. Excited.
Thank you. I was excited when I saw those. I was like, what? Yes.
Yeah.
About 4 years later, 400 episodes. Now. Thank you.
Come on now. That's amazing.
You got to put in the work, Jonathan. You got to put in the work. So I'm so glad you're here, though. I have a really cool community, and a lot of them are like solopreneurs, entrepreneurs. I speak to a lot of CEOs, like a lot of, you know, people that are in careers and transitioning into like their own businesses and things. So you're speaking to the right audience. And I love introducing people like you that come with a fresh perspective and a new look on seeing things. So before we get into the nitty gritties of everything you do, I do want to know a little more about you. So my first question out the gate is, who are you, Mr. Jonathan? Who are you?
Yeah. Yes. Thank you so much for that question, Nina. And even if you didn't ask me, I would have told you anyways, because like who I am flows into what I do. And I think that there is this misconception that we have to have our personal self and then our work self, right? Mm. But that's never actually really been the case, especially for anybody that has a marginalized identity. I can't leave my blackness or my maleness or any of that stuff out the door. Oh, no, shoot. I can't leave it out the door.
Just put it on in the morning, you know.
You know what I'm saying? Just like a coat, you know what I mean? Right. And so just living in the society we live in, it just like, you know, me being a black man, growing up where I went up, growing how I grew up means a lot. So first of all, I'm a husband, a brother, and a son. My family means the world to me. And really why I do what I do like stems out of that. Like my mom grew up a hustler. She raised three hustlers who just like persevere, are determined, who don't take no for an answer. You might tell me no, but I'm just gonna, all right, cool, you said no, but I don't think no exists in whatever I want to do or accomplish. And so that's the kind of same mentality that I take in with my coaching, take in with the people that I interact with. But I'm also a podcast host, I'm an organizational psychologist, I'm a career transition coach, who just loves leadership development, loves to see people grow, loves to see people thrive, and be themselves, wherever, whatever that means, wherever that means for you. I really try my daggondest to create safe and brave spaces for anybody that I interact with. Because I think that that is the ultimate way that, like, not you just as an individual is going to thrive, but us as a community, us as a collective, you and me together will thrive. When you can be you, I can be me, and we can just celebrate each other in that space.
Right.
So good. That's me. I love green. That's my favorite color. So, that's a little bit about
green money, green grass, right? Green is a nice color. Let's not play around.
It is. Yeah, come on.
You know, I want to dig into a little bit of what you said too, because you said, you know, when you can show up as you, and I think that that's really a lost art, Jonathan. Like, a lot of people don't know who they are, or they trying to be someone else because they don't have a sense of what that means to be themselves, right? And a lot of that comes, I feel, and you probably know about this better than I, but I feel a lot of it comes from all of the information and misinformation that we're getting in the world. And we really think that we have to show up as someone else. And it's because I feel like Instagram, for instance, you get a nice one picture of a second of someone's life, and they look like they're having an amazing life, and you're not seeing the other, you know, 99.9% of their lives, right? Mm-hmm. And so we get lost in the sauce. Even I, as an adult, right? I'm a bit older. I'm 51 years old. I was here before this technology stuff started coming in. And even I, as when I started to transition from my corporate job into my entrepreneurship, I got lost in the sauce too. Like, I didn't know how to show up as me, right?
Yeah.
So I say that to say, what do you think people need to look at when they're trying to see themselves or know who they are? Like, how do we start that journey?
That's such a great question. And thank you so much for, like, the insight and everything, laying the groundwork for that, because it's so true. I think we are fooled into believing that we understand what authenticity is, right? We see that, especially for millennials, like, we be doing that, like, tossing that word around, just like, oh, be authentic, show up as your authentic self, so on and so forth. Well, there's a lot of things that impact how we show up in the world, like race, gender, where we grew up, socioeconomic status, the like, all of that, right? And so I think that that impacts even our view of even safety. Like, when I tell people, I used to say all the time, like, just show up, doesn't matter, right? But now I realize, like, that can actually be harmful, to tell somebody to show up as you in harmful spaces and spaces that, like, you are not welcome. Like, that is not okay. Like, that's not okay. And so, like, now I've reshaped that to tell people, like, show up as you choose to show up, right? As long as you choose to show up in whatever facet that is, like, you are being authentic to you. You are being authentic to who you are, and give people pieces. You don't have to give people everything. They don't deserve
that.
Right.
That's true too.
So when I think about trying to understand who you are, coming into that, I have a career joy roadmap, and I actually can use this to, like, frame how I would answer this. There's 5 steps to it. And the first step is acknowledge that feeling, right? Acknowledge your emotions, acknowledge what's going on. And I think when I was discovering and still discovering who I am, the hardest part was to name and say that I don't know who I am, because I was so busy wearing all of these masks, being in corporate spaces, being the only Black person often, being the oldest brother, being the person that, you know, had it all figured out. I can't make a mistake. Golden child-like mentality. When I finally said, with all of these different masks, I have no idea who I am. Then I actually was able to face the reality of, like, okay, the next step, what does that mean for me? Right? Like, it doesn't mean that every decision I've made up until this point means absolutely nothing or anything like that. The next step to that is practicing self-compassion, is trying to understand when Jonathan 10, 15, 20 years ago, like, there's components and things that I knew at that time that made the most sense, and I made the best decisions at that time. So as I'm navigating and guiding through these things, you're just really asking these questions, like, what aspects of who I am are, like, important to me? Are these actually important to me? Were they given to me? Were they told to me? And just, like, not interrogating, but really compassionately asking yourself these questions to uncover your why, to discover who you are. Mm-hmm. I'll stop there because there's it's a journey.
No, that's truly really good, like, right? I mean, you're talking about. Yeah, what you're saying makes a lot of sense, and it's really good for people to understand that, because you're talking about self-awareness. You're talking about showing up for you, and you're talking about grace for you as well, right? To having compassion and grace, and to realize that we're all jacked up, right? We all got issues. Everybody got issues, and it's fine. And I always tell people, you also don't look at everything as it's good or bad. Sometimes it just is. It just is. And if you look at something as it just is, then you can say, okay, but why is it? Let's break that down if that's where you want to go with it. I really have worked so hard on this personal development space in my life and in educating myself with it, because it has helped me thrive, right? A woman who has, I was 15 years old when I had my first son. I lived in the projects and poverty almost all, most of my life, and homeless and lived in shelters, all of that kind of stuff. Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And at some point you stop being a victim. You stop saying, okay, what's up with that? Okay. And how do I change that? And how do I show up as Nina without being afraid of showing up as Nina? Right. Yep. And you're right. You don't want to just show up as you. That's so smart, Jonathan. That shows wisdom beyond your years. Right. Like, yes, it's good to show up as you, but it's also good to show up as you when you know that you're safe and you know that you can show up as you. See, I always say, if you're not going to have a seat for me at the table, I'm going to bring my own damn table. Right. Yep. So that's sometimes what you have to do. You have to be safe, and you also have to be bold enough to know that you also bring wisdom to the table, that you have a past in your life that has given you skill sets, abilities, thoughts that you can also bring to the table. And I think that you're spot on about just doing it with compassion, finding out who you are, and also finding out what you like and don't like, right, Jonathan? A lot of us don't even know what we like or don't like.
We don't even know. We're told there's billions and billions and billions of dollars that are poured into marketing to tell us what we want and what we like every single day. Yes. And we're just, imagine how many pieces of information that we're receiving. It's like a ridiculous amount. It's like a ridiculous amount per day, right? And so, like, another component that, as you were talking, and you were talking earlier that I didn't mention, is that, like, give yourself space, fam. Like, when's the last time you turned off your phone? You didn't have music going on. Like, you just like sat with yourself for a minute, right? Like, and by yourself. Like, when's the last time you like just spent a day with yourself to like do the things you want to do, explore the areas you want to explore, ask yourself the questions you want to, like, sleep in, give yourself permission to do these different things. You might discover something about yourself in those spaces, like when you just cut out all the noise, right? And I think that there's a lot of noise that gets in our head, not just to influence what we think about ourselves, influence what decisions we make, or influence, et cetera. But it is a lot of noise that distracts us from actually being with ourselves to discover more about us, right? Because I think that there's no ending point as we grow. There's no ending point as we age. It's actually just more and more discovery. And the unknown doesn't have to be scary. The unknown actually can be an opportunity if we're curious about it and we're brave enough to step into it. You could be scared. You could be fearful. That's okay, because those are normal feelings. But like, can we approach that unknown? Can we approach that next step of growth within ourselves with a level of curiosity and, again, compassion, to know what we don't, to be okay with what we don't know, but okay with learning that next thing?
Yeah, so good. And, and going and, transitioning that into, what you do too, right? Where you empower people to own their story, like I was saying in your intro, and also to thrive in their career, right? Because one of the lines was, having career despair into joy. Right.
Yeah.
And so that part that you're talking about with discovering yourself and knowing who you are and giving yourself grace will transition into what you do. And you're right. People really do believe like work is work and home is home, but you're still the same human. You're still the same human being at work and at home. Like, you might have different roles, but you're still the same human, same emotions, same anger, same, sadness, same joy, same everything. Right. So, how do then they transition that, Jonathan? How do they go from, you know, career despair into joy? How do they do that? Especially for people, you know, I think one of the misconceptions or things that I don't necessarily agree with, so maybe you'll disagree with me, I'm not sure, is when people say, you don't like your job, quit or just leave or just whatever. And I don't feel that way. I feel like, no, you need to pause. You need to think about that decision. And who it affects. Does it affect your wife or your husband? Does it affect your children? Does it? And then make a decision to where you want to go, right? Some people just quit. And then they're now they're even more in despair and desperate and angry and frustrated. So I say all that to say, Jonathan, how do we do that? How do we help people who are listening from career despair into joy?
Yeah. So I want to first, and that's a really good point, because I used to be one of those people that just quit, just quit, just quit. Even though I didn't do it myself, like, you don't have to just quit. I was like, So I'm going to call myself out, but I'd no longer do that because like that is in, let's just talk about this really quickly, because that is an incredibly like privileged thing to say. Like when you're giving advice or when you're like coaching somebody or even potentially mentoring somebody, like I would never tell somebody to, like I think about my time when I worked as a, when I was in grad school, I was working at the Genius Bar at Apple. And one of the things that they told all the technical people is that you want to do the least invasive thing to the most invasive thing, which is like least invasive. Let's turn your iPhone off and turn it back on to see if that fixes the issue, right? We don't want to just like go and delete something or get you a new phone. Like that's a lot of time and money. So like, let's figure this part out. And so I use that same mentality when I'm working with people, right? So like, do you even like, all right, you don't want to be at your workplace anymore. Like, or you experienced this hurt or trauma or whatever at your workplace, or you experienced something at work. Let's just say a negative experience. Let's not go all the way to trauma because not every bad experience is traumatic. But there are more bad experiences that are traumatic than we give ourselves credit to admit. I'll say that as a side, but how I talk people through that is like, all right, you had this negative experience. Is that experience like so bad that it makes it impossible to work? Like, do you just have to have a conversation with somebody, or was there a miscommunication or something along those lines? And then we just peel the layers back. And if it's at a point where you're not safe, where like it's not good, then we create an exit strategy. For you to leave, whether that means you quit because like it's just not safe and it's harmful, right? Because there are times where you need to do that, and then we create that extra strategy where like you can get support or whatever, right? Then, or there's other ones where it's like, this is bad, it's a toxic environment, I don't need to leave, one, because I need money, but two, like I want to be able to land on my feet. So there's like, it's nuanced. It really does need to take a nuanced approach. So I'll just say that, like, I think that that's so important. I don't want to lose that. But getting back to your point around like career despair transitioning into career joy. Number one, it has a lot to do with growing in self-awareness and giving yourself the space to process your emotions that you've experienced, right? Whether it be negative or positive. And I want to just define career despair, how I define it. And so I define despair as like emotional, it's like an emotional and psychological distress that you feel in the context of your work, in the context of your occupation. And so this can be like characterized by like a persistent, like it's persistent, it's ongoing belief that your career, your job, your work is stagnant, it's unfulfilling, it's unchangeable, and you feel absolutely hopeless because you've invested all this time, energy into something that's just not working anymore. And so like, I came to that conclusion because I keep talking to people that like use these words around this, but this is ultimately what they're experiencing. And so how I would define career joy then is like almost the opposite, but it really is this profound, like deep soul satisfying happiness that is, yes, tied to your job, but it's because your career, what you do is aligned with who you are. And so when you know who you are, when you feel good about who you are, you're able to like make better decisions around your career. You're able to better see clearly. And you're able to get that soul, that alignment. It doesn't mean you're always happy. It doesn't mean you're always satisfied. It doesn't mean your job is a, like you're, but like I have seen and witnessed people experiencing career joy at the Trader Joe's checkout line. Like, I love my Trader Joe's. They are amazing. Like, I always have amazing conversation with these folks. There's and Trader Joe's, like, I've seen people experience career joy, you know, at a Starbucks, McDonald's. I've seen people experience career joy in a bookstore. I've seen experience as solopreneurs, entrepreneurs, CEOs. Like, it does range. But these are people that have done the work to understand who they are. And so it goes back to what I had mentioned earlier around my career joy roadmap, which is really a road to self-discovery and giving yourself space to process all these emotions that we've disassociated with and not allowed ourselves to feel. When I talk about that professional self or that work self and that personal self, when I'm telling people is like that, like good old boys club, old corporate model, like way of being like, just leave yourself at work. Like, don't bring any of that personal stuff in here. It has never worked. Like, it's never worked.
It really
has. Like, because we're telling people, we want you to psychologically, mentally disassociate with that, with the stuff that's going on with your kids, the stuff that's going on with your parents, your partner. You work in a job that's not paying you enough, so you have to work a double shift or whatever. It, like, all of these different things that go on, not to mention the society things, right? Really is giving yourself permission throughout this journey to feel the things. So that way you can identify what you're feeling, so that you can identify what you want, so you can identify what you value, so you can make better decisions in your work. Ultimately, I'm not trying to convince anybody to leave a job that they don't want to, or make a transition that they don't want to do. Ultimately, what I want folks to do is to get to a place where they decide, like, this job, this career, what I'm doing aligns with who I am. Aligns with my values, and I feel safe doing it, because those are the three, as far as my roadmap, those are the three components that are incredibly crucial. And I've discovered with working with my clients over the last over the years that those are the things that keep coming up repeatedly. That's a little bit of that.
That's really, really good, because you know, I think that becoming self-aware is going to help a lot of people. And the reason I say that is because I also believe that the reason that people go through maybe career despair or not wanting to be there anymore, whatever, is sometimes because they're in the wrong position. It might not even be the company. It might not even be the coworkers. You might love them. Maybe you're just in the wrong position, and that's now causing you this extra amount of strain and stress. And if we're self-aware, then we realize, okay, maybe I'm a killer salesperson, but maybe I don't want to be managing people. You know what I mean? Like, this happens a lot, right? Because in people's careers, especially if you're there for a while, or the company has lost a few people, or you're really damn good at what you do, you're going to get promoted. And sometimes what happens is that promotion comes with stuff you don't want.
You just don't want it.
And it's so it may not be the fact that you want to change your career. It may not be the fact that the job is bad. It just could be something simple. And if you're aware of yourself and who you are, and the fact that you don't like people, you don't like managing people.
It's real. Come on now.
If you know that, then you go, okay, hold on. I was actually thriving in my sales department more than I'm thriving in the operations department, let's say, right? So I love that you take them through that self-awareness piece, as opposed to, oh, what is your career? What do you do? Okay, let's just push you this way, right? But you're taking them on a journey of themselves, because at the end of the day, Jonathan, right? They might leave that career, but they're still them. They're still them. Right. So if you go with the same you to the next job, you're going to find the same problems at the next job too, if you have not worked on yourself. Right.
Yes. Yep. And one of the things that I experienced in my own career, maybe you can relate, Nina, but like, I would get a job and think this is it. Like, this is amazing. This is great. I would be frustrated by the job by like month three, or like wondering or questioning by month three. And then I'm looking for a new job by month six or nine. Because I'm just like, what is going on? Like, why is this happening? And the answer for me was that I was getting bored, frustrated, not being able to do the things that I wanted to do. One, because that job was never going to allow me to do that, because like I thought and made up things, romanticized what this job could be by looking at a job description, even though they've never communicated that thing to me. Like, I've ran into so many people that have never, like, I've ran into so many people that just like, just like, yeah, like I thought I was going to be able to do this. Well, did they say that to you? Like, did your manager, did you ask that question that you were going to be able to do that? And very rarely I hear the answer yes to that. But like, I used to do that all the time.
I think we all do, Jonathan.
Yeah.
We all do.
I just get so frustrated. I'm like, what's going on? And I was just, I kept doing that, And then there was a moment where like, and this was a job I really loved. And then the pandemic happened. But it was, there was a time where I was like, I'm not making enough money. This is ridiculous. I got a master's degree. This is ridiculous. I want to do all this stuff. I want to be a people manager. I've managed people before. I want to do all this stuff. Like, what's going on? And I just started paying attention, doing some research, just taking my job search a little bit slower. And then I ended up like finding a role where I was like, you know, I got kind of sort of experience in this. It scares me a little bit. This will be a growing point. I've managed plenty of people, but I've never managed like a full-time staff person. I've never ran this whole location. I've never had a portfolio this big, whatever. And I, that job, going through that process made me work harder, made me evaluate what I wanted to do, made me think about it. And I really looked at that job description and said, like, what are the things not only can I do, but what do I want to do? Like, what is going to like light me the hell up every single time I show up, or at least most of the time. Like, my thing is like, if you find a job that like you are happy and joyous, like 70 to 80% of the time, you are in happy land, because I have I'm an entrepreneur. I've created my job, and there are plenty of things I hate doing.
Yeah.
I do not like doing.
Amen to that, brother.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes. To that. So it's like, you know, if you don't take the time, to your point, Nina, to really like understand what you want, who you are, what your values are, all these different things, and really take the time to do that. Just be intentional with it. Be purposeful with it. You might end up just being in the same position in the next role, And you take all that other emotional baggage, past experience baggage with you. Like, it's not going to leave you. Like, it might not just be the place. Like, there may be, there might be some you stuff going on.
I mean, you are the same denominator.
I don't say that as a negative sense. I'm just saying, like, you know, everybody's looking around for the problem, and you just need to look in a mirror. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And just figure out what's going on. So
listen, you're telling the truth right now. You're telling the truth. I love that you did that though, and that you started to really start to discover, like, okay, what is this position? How do I, you know, increase here? What do I do here? How do I fall in love with this here? You know, I love that. And I also love that you brought to awareness of the people who are listening. Listen, if you love your job 70 to 80% of the time, you are in the win. You are in the win. And you know, not everybody, and this is what I want all of you guys to hear as well, is not everybody is an entrepreneur. Maybe you think you have to be an entrepreneur because everybody and their mother's an entrepreneur right now online, but you don't have to be. You can align with somebody's business, somebody's organization, somebody's nonprofit. You can organize with somebody else where you say, you know what? I really like their values. I really love who they are, what they're bringing to the world. And that is okay too. Not everybody has to be an entrepreneur or solopreneur. So, you know, I think that's necessary to say, because I think so many people feel like, especially right now, because it is a big entrepreneurial, solopreneurial world right now. So I think people are feeling a little bit of that FOMO, you know, but not everybody's supposed to do that. Not everybody's supposed to do it. And when you get out of the corporate world and go on your own, you start to realize how difficult it is too, because now you are everything. You don't have the team anymore. Yes. You are everything. You did this, right? So you started your Highly Visible and Little Misunderstood podcast, right?
Yeah.
And you're also now doing the transitioning coaching. So tell me a little bit about your podcast. What is that about?
Yeah. So initially the podcast started out. Oh, actually, sorry. I wanted to just drop a very quick resource because you said something about a TED talk that I just recently stumbled across. It's How to Know If You're Meant to Be an Entrepreneur. And it's by Kiki Ayers. I'll drop the link. I'll share the link with you, Nina.
Yeah, but I would love that.
The first like 5 minutes, she's like, how many of y'all, you know what entrepreneur means? How many of y'all, you know, want to be an entrepreneur? How do y'all know the difference? Yada yada. She asked all these questions and people's hands started going down. And she's like, some of y'all think y'all want to be an entrepreneur, but have you ever asked yourself the question, do I want to work 8 hours a day or do I want to work 24/7? You know what I'm saying? Like, because that's honestly what it is. I work a lot. Like in the beginning, I was working a lot. I've created better boundaries now, but anyways, that's a great resource. I'm gonna share it with you after we get off. So folks,
that'd be great.
But going back to the podcast. So yeah, as a business owner, I started my podcast was like my first like official like business venture that I didn't know was gonna be a part-time job, you know, 3-4 years later. It started out as a hobby and more of like an open journal. Because I think I hope folks are starting to see a theme about me. Like I've learned to live life in a more nuanced way and trying to get rid of like a binary way of thinking and being, because I think humans are too complex for A and B, or B, excuse me. And so I just started doing, you know, I was curious about my mom. I'm curious about, you know, my spouse. I'm curious about my brothers, other friends and family, different things like that of like, you know, like, how do you think the way you think, you know, like we grew up in the same household. We have the same parents. Like, there's a 9-year difference too. And my mom had me when she was 15 and, my youngest brother had me, or she had him when she was a little bit older, a little bit more established. And so like, we've lived completely different lives. Right. But I'm just like, yo, like, how did you become who you are? And I just started asking questions. I would ask myself those questions and started asking them and ask them if they want to record it. And the things that I discovered about them, the things that I discovered about myself was like so eye-opening. Like it was just so eye-opening. Like I didn't even know that. Like I didn't know you felt that. I didn't know like that was something you were holding on to. I didn't know like that's why you did that. I didn't know like this, whatever. Like I just asked questions. And I would fill in the gaps between like the little, cause I'm just like such a policy nerd and history nerd. And like, just, I want to give people like, this is why this is important. Like have you never heard of the school to prison pipeline? Like, this is what it is. This is why this story is important to tie into that. And that's what I was doing in the beginning. But my show went viral after a conversation and it changed how I was going about those conversations. Is when I had a conversation with my spouse, who is a blonde-eyed white woman, blonde hair, or blue-eyed, blonde-haired white woman from the suburbs of Minneapolis in Minnesota. And it was 2020 and we had just gone to a protest and like George Floyd happened, all these different things happened. And we had recorded an episode just after we got back from a protest. And it was probably one of the rawest conversations
I bet I've
ever had. Because we talked about everything as to like, you know, you are somebody who is incredibly aware, somebody who does diversity, equity, inclusion work. I've seen you fight tooth and nail, raging against administration at your institution to support and care for your students. But you don't fight that hard for your own husband. Like you don't fight that hard for me. I have to wear a mask at work. I have to wear a mask where we live. I have to wear a mask in our home. Like how, like, and we just talked about and dove into that. Deep
conversation.
And it was so raw. And the thing is like, you know, it's not to exceptionalize Lindsay because she was already doing this work and trying to discover like, you know, how do I not be a racist white woman? How do I not like allow my privilege to block my vision from understanding that, you know, what is going on, what is really happening. But I think those conversations that we had there it was another level for our own individual relationship. And it also helped other people to put language to the things that they were feeling. And I think that that's what made that jump off. So I'm getting really long winded on this. Those are just some of the highlights, but that was old brand. It's rebranded recently. It's called Highly Visible and Little Misunderstood. But we have nuanced conversations about big topics. So it's very still the same at the heart of it. It's the heart of what we're doing. It's like having and asking these questions. But like, I just bring on like all kinds of experts. All of these people are like my friends. They're incredible people, entrepreneurs, people that work in corporate world, people that are like psychologists, teachers, all these different things. And just they share their wisdom, share their stories. And like, we just asked questions about larger themes. So we had one on Black masculinity. This past one was on entrepreneuring while Black, like the impact of our identity, all aspects of our identity. On
Oh, that's really powerful. That is some good stuff, yeah. Jonathan.
Yeah,
that is
yeah. So really, I'll stop there. Really I can ramble and go on, but
that's really, really good stuff. And I hope that everybody who's listening just goes immediately and tunes in. I will be. I like conversations that are real and raw, and I like conversations that maybe I don't agree with, because I love expanding my mind. I call it mind flow, right? I don't call it mindset. Yep. I call it mind flow. I believe that our minds are supposed to flow, grab new information, learn, expand, also push back when you need to, et cetera, et cetera. That's what a good conversation is, right? A good, you know, healthy conversation is. So I love that. And thank you for sharing that, because I think that's going to be super powerful for people who are listening. And, and I know that you also do the coaching. So tell me, because I know we're getting towards the end, but I want people to know how to like connect with you and like really get into your world, right? Like you know, get into your coaching and all of that. So give us that information.
Absolutely. So I do one-to-one coaching, and a little bit of group coaching. I'm down to do that if there's a group where y'all like, oh, we want this as a group. I love doing that as well. But I do, coaching to support people, in their career transition. And there's something that you said earlier that I love, and really want to highlight. Not everybody is looking to make a change to their job. They're just really experiencing something and feeling something at this point in their career, and they just don't know what it is. And so that may look like getting a new job. That may just actually understand what that next journey is, or prepare what that next journey is. Or maybe you want to start a side hustle or something that you've been ideating for a long time. I really help people. I facilitate a space in a one-on-one container where folks can, where I ask questions and you have the ability to ponder deeply, purposely, intentionally, on what it is you want to do, what it is you want to do, who you are. And we really unblock all of these mental barriers that you didn't even know was there. I had a conversation with a client earlier this week. I said, have you ever looked at jobs, job descriptions, looked at companies through the lens of your values? She said, I don't even know what that means. I said, fantastic. I said, all right, well, let's like talk through each one of your values.
I love that.
And before we even got through the second one, she had the realization that she is currently in a role at a job at a company that her values are completely misaligned. And so she's been there for 3 years wondering why she's been so frustrated. And that's exactly what. And so like we do all kinds of things like
that.
So good. And,
so good.
And I walk my clients one-on-one through the Career Joy roadmap in a plethora of ways. And so I have like a 2-month program and then a 4-month program
that I work with clients through. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Imagine like everybody kind of like aligning their values with their jobs. Not only would they make their lives better, but they would make the company better and their CEOs better, and everybody will be better if they all aligned with that. Not that you need to have groupthink. I don't believe in groupthink, but I do believe in aligning yourself to something, right? And so like, you know, my VA and, you know, my video editor and all that kind of stuff, we have to have the same values, you know, the same values of serving and, you know, making sure we have a level of quality that we will always attain. Yep. You know, and you have to have those values. Otherwise, we won't align and it's not going to work. So, Jonathan, this is really good work that you're doing, honestly, both ends, on your coaching and your podcast. I love that. I love your authenticity and your transparentness and the way that you are willing to have these conversations and let the world hear. So, man, kudos to you for real. Really good work.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you so much for creating the space. This was so fun. I always love having conversations like this. See, I told you we're going to have a good time. So,
yes. No, we did. This was fantastic. So, and I really want to thank you. And especially for those who are listening, you know, thank you so much for pouring into my audience. Honestly, beautiful conversation. You're a great human. Thank you so much.
Thank you. You as well. Thank you, Nina.
Loved it. Guys, told you, another good human check, right? I told you, Jonathan is absolutely freaking amazing. And I will make sure to link all of his information below. And when he sends me that link to the to the TEDx talk. I'll make sure to go ahead and link that also so you can watch it. I'm going to watch it too, because I think that it is something that we can utilize, not just for ourselves, but maybe for people who are going on a journey as well and finding out what is entrepreneurship. So I think that's going to be fantastic. I want you to tune into his podcast, because if you don't, you're missing out. I'm going to make sure to go on there right now and subscribe, because that is the way you support good work. You have to subscribe, leave a review, pour into people, guys, because when the more you pour into people, the more will be poured into you. Thank you guys for being here. I love you so much. This is Nina Perez, Straight Talk, No Sugar Added. Until next time.